الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes he begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who is sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we will have class number 6 from our series of classes, Your Journey to Eternity, and the title of the class today is Sincerity, the Lost Jewel. Inshallah, today we are learning about the good deeds and its benefits in our worldly life, as a source of a good worldly life and as a source of Allah's love, as we learned last week. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about the benefits of the good deeds in the worldly life, and also we will learn about the two conditions which are a must for any deed to be accepted by Allah as a good deed. Let us start by learning about the benefits of the good deeds in the worldly life, and we will read a Quranic rule from Surah number 55, verse number 6. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان and is there any reward for good other than good. Actually, this is the Quranic rule. The Quranic rule means that if you do good, inshallah, you will find good. This is Allah's rule regarding doing the good deeds. Accordingly, we must believe that the good deeds will be always a way for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we will learn from hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the good deeds can be a way for the relief at the time of distress. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said once, three persons were traveling and suddenly it started raining and they took shelter in a cave. While they were inside the cave, the entrance of the cave got closed by falling of a huge rock. They were very sad and they said to each other, nothing can save us from this big trouble, our sincerity to Allah in doing good deeds. So let every one of us ask Allah's help by referring to a good deed done for his sake. One of them said, Oh Allah, you know that I had old parents whom I used to provide with milk every night. One night I was delayed and when I came they had slept. I disliked to wake them up and I kept on waiting for them to wake until it dawned. My wife and my kids were looking for the milk to drink, but I refused and I insisted that my parents must drink first. Oh Allah, if I have done that, for your sake, relieve our distress. So the rock shifted, but not to let them out. The second said, Oh Allah, you know that I had a cousin who was most beloved to me. I sought to seduce her, but she refused until she was in need of money, so I gave her the money on condition of having her surrender to me. The moment I was about to have of her what I have been longing for, she said to me, Be afraid of Allah. O Allah, if I have done that, leaving her to go without touching her, for your sake, O Allah, relieve our distress. So the rock shifted, but not to let them out. The third one said, O Allah, you know that I had employees who worked for me. And to them I had given their wags, except for one of them who departed and whose wags at my hands were made multitudinous. One day he came back, that employee came back and asked for his wages. So I said to him, go to those cows, camels and slaves. They are all yours. He said, don't mock at me. So the man said, I am not to deride at you. The laborers drove them all. O Allah, if I have done that for your sake, then relieve our stress. So Allah relieved them and Allah removed the rock and they came out of the cave walking. What is the meaning of this hadith, sister? The meaning of this hadith is that when you will do the good deeds, be sure that Allah will reward you. Allah will reward you for your good deeds in this life and in the hereafter. Your good deeds are never lost by Allah. Allah the Almighty is the most merciful. Allah the Almighty is encouraging us to do the good deeds by rewarding us for these good deeds in our worldly life and in the hereafter. Every one of us is looking for the relief of the distress. Every one of us is looking for his hardships to have an end. And we are all looking for the source of the relief of our distress, the source for the end of our hardships. It is our good deeds. It is our good deeds which we do it for Allah's sake. These good deeds, we can call on Allah by our good deeds, calling on Him, asking Him to relieve our distress through our sincerity to Him when we were doing these good deeds for His sake. The more you do the good deeds, the more you have the trust that all your distress will be relieved by Allah through your sincerity in doing the good deeds. So we must realize that the good deeds are not only a source of happiness in the hereafter. Rather, the good deeds are a source of the relief of the distress in the worldly life. But we must do these good deeds for the sake of Allah. And in this hadith, we learned about three persons. One of them was taking care of his parents for Allah's sake only. His parents were the priority in his life. And it was only for Allah's sake. Accordingly, Allah answered his supplication when he called on him saying, O Allah, relieve my distress if I had cared for my parents for your sake. Allah relieved his distress and Allah made the regarding the second and the third one, both of them, they have the sincerity towards Allah when they decided to fear Allah and to not harm any human being for Allah's sake. So actually, because of their sincerity and because of remembering Allah the Almighty and doing the deed for His sake, not for the sake of the desire of love or the desire of having a lot of money, because of their sincerity, Allah the Almighty answered their supplication when they called on Him to relieve their distress because of their sincerity, and Allah made the rock to move and actually they were saved. So this is actually a clarification and a proof to every one of us, and also a motive for every one of us to keep on doing the good deeds all the time, keeping in mind that I will call on Allah at the time of distress to relieve me because of my sincerity in doing these good deeds. Also, the good deeds are having a lot of benefit regarding being the source of having the paradise as the final destination, as we clarified in the previous classes. Now, inshallah, we will start to learn about the two conditions which are a must for any deed to be accepted by Allah as a good deed. So the two factors which are a must for a good deed to be accepted by Allah, these two factors are, number one, sincerity. Number two, the deed must be done according to the sunnah, that is to say the tradition, the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Today, inshallah, we will start to learn about sincerity, the most important factor for any deed to be accepted by Allah. What is the meaning of sincerity in Islam? Sincerity in Islam means for Allah's sake. This means that to do the deed, obedience of Allah, looking for the pleasure of Allah, and looking for the reward only from Allah. Sincerity means to do all your deeds, looking for your motive is the obedience of Allah, and your goal is Allah's pleasure and Allah's reward. This is the reality of sincerity in Islam. The problem is that many people, they don't have sincerity. What is the meaning of not having sincerity regarding doing the deeds? It means that those people, they do the deeds for their motive is the showing of, their motive is the people, not Allah. They do the deeds for the sake of the people, for the sake of the showing of. What is their goal? Their goal is to attain the people, respect the people, help the people, support. It is all, the reward for them is all from the people, not from Allah. All these deeds which are done for showing off, for the reward from the people, are not accepted by Allah. These are not good deeds. These are the lost deeds. Why they are the lost deeds? To be sincere regarding doing the deeds, this means that you only look for Allah's pleasure and Allah's reward. That is to say, to forget about the people completely regarding being a motive or being a goal. So the next question is, why sincerity is so essential regarding acceptance of our deeds? Our deeds cannot be accepted except when our deeds are having sincerity, that is today, for Allah's sake. Why? Why sincerity is a must for any deed to be accepted? The answer is that sincerity is the proof of the belief in Allah's oneness. We must always believe that Allah is the only power, the only will. Allah is the creator of the heavens and earth. Allah is the owner of the heavens and earth. Allah is the all-knower of the seen and the unseen. These are the basic facts related to the belief in Allah's oneness. Also, we must believe that people cannot provide, people cannot sustain anything. People cannot be a source of guidance or mercy. People cannot remove harm or bring any good to any one of us. We must believe that Allah is the only provider, the only sustainer, the source of guidance, the source of mercy, the only one who can remove all the harm is only Allah the Almighty. If we have this belief very clear in our spirits, we will have the sincerity in doing all the deeds for His sake only. Let us remind ourselves again regarding these facts, that Allah is the provider, and Allah is the sustainer, the source of guidance, mercy, the one He removed the harm. We will recite some of the verses of the Quran regarding these facts, so that inshallah we will always have it clear in our spirits that the belief in Allah's oneness is the source of our sincerity in our deeds. Regarding reminding ourselves that Allah is the provider in the heavens and the earth, we will read now from the verses of the Quran, Surah number 51, verse number 22. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah number 51, verse number 22. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. And in the heaven is your provision and that which you are promised. Allah the Almighty is clarifying to us, Allah the Provider is clarifying to us that our provision is in the heaven. Actually, the sources of the provision are on the earth, but the command for the provision comes from the heaven. It comes from Allah when Allah says, be, and it will be. So we must always look for the provision to have it from Allah, from the command of Allah. When Allah will command His sources on the earth to be a source of provision for every one of us, our provision is from Allah the Almighty. We will read now from Surah number 34, Surah Saba, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah number 34, verse number 24, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلِ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّا أَوْ إِيَّاكُمْ لَعَلَى هُدًى أَوْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who give you provision from the heavens and the earth? Say, Allah. And verily, you and we are rightly guided or in plain error. The answer for the question, who is the provider from the heaven and the earth, who give us provision from the heaven and earth, the answer to Prophet Muhammad, to say it to everyone, Allah is the provider, the only provider is Allah. Accordingly, the question regarding the provision is answered in Surah number 34, verse number 24. Allah is clarifying to every Muslim, to every believer, that the only provider is Allah. If you are looking for the provision, look for the provision to come from Allah, from the command of Allah. So don't try to show off for the people or to try to bow for the people or try to actually ask the people for the provision, to humiliate yourself for the people for the sake of the provision. This is against the belief in Allah's oneness. The provision is only by the command of Allah. So ask your provision from Allah, Allah the Almighty. We will learn also that the source of the mercy is only Allah. The mercy is needed as the provision is needed, because provision is not only to have money or to have wealth. Provision includes the health, the wealth, the kids, the belief in Allah. Everything in this life is a source of Allah's provision. So with the provision we need Allah's mercy, because if I have kids and these kids Allah is not showering them with His mercy, these kids will be the source of all the troubles in my life. If I have a husband who is not showered by Allah's mercy, he will be actually the source of the hardship in my life. If I have wealth and I am not showered by Allah's mercy, this wealth actually will be my way to gambling and to drinking and to every bad, every way of evil in my life. Accordingly, to have the provision is very important, but also you need Allah's mercy with that provision. Let us now learn from the Quran who is the source of the mercy on the earth. We will read now from Surah number 30, number. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ما يفتح الله للناس من رحمة فلا ممسك لها وما يمسك فلا مرسل له من بعده وهو العزيز الحكيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Whatever of mercy Allah may grant to mankind, none can withhold it. And whatever He may withhold, none can grant it thereafter. And He is the Almighty, All-Wise. Allah the Almighty is clarifying to everyone that He is the source of all the mercy on the earth, and the mercy is up to man. When Allah grants mankind mercy, none can withhold it. and whatever Allah may withhold, none can grant it. So we are not supposed to look for the mercy through the people. People cannot grant us mercy. The source of mercy is Allah. The only one who grants us the mercy is Allah. We cannot buy the mercy from the supermarket. We cannot get it from the people. The mercy is through Allah the Almighty, who is actually showering the hearts of the people with mercy towards us, and then the people will show us this mercy when they are granted the mercy by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sisters, let us all the time look for Allah to grant us the mercy and not look for the people to be the source of the mercy in our life. Regarding the guidance, which is to follow the right path in this life and which will be actually the way to the paradise, we must always be aware that the source of guidance is only Allah. The guidance is only from Allah the Almighty. We will read now from Surah number 28, verse number 56, about this fact, so that every one of us will call on Allah for the guidance and will look for Allah to guide him, and never to believe that someone can be the source of my guidance. The source of my guidance is Allah the Almighty, and he will make some people to be the reasons for my guidance. The reasons are up to the people, but the command for the guidance, the command for the mercy, the command for the provision, the command for any good in this life has to come from Allah the Almighty, the only one who has the power and who has the will. We will read now from Surah Al-Qasas, Surah number 28, verse number 56. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء وهو أعلم بالمهتدين. Verily you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guide not whom you like, but Allah guides whom he wills, and he knows best those who are the guided. In order to about the narration of this verse of the Quran, actually it was that when Abu Talib, actually he is the uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was taking care of him, and actually he was the one who raised him, the father of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Actually he was a man of kindness to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was his beloved uncle. When his beloved uncle Abu Talib was on his deathbed, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of his love to his uncle, went to him and he said, "Oh my uncle, say la ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, an expression with which I will defend your case before Allah." But because of the presence of the some of the disbelievers whom they were sitting beside Abu Talib at that time, those disbelievers were saying to Prophet Muhammad uncle when he was on his deathbed, "Don't leave our religion. Don't leave worshipping the idols. Don't listen to Muhammad. Just keep on that you believe in our religion. You believe in the worshipping of the idols." And actually, the last statement Prophet Muhammad uncle said before his death, that he is on their religion. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very upset for this. Accordingly, this verse of the Quran was revealed that you, Muhammad, guide not whom you like, but Allah guides whom he wills, a verse of the Quran clarifying that the will is only to Allah. Even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved human being to Allah, he cannot guide any human being, even his uncle whom he loved him, but he cannot guide him because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a human being. That is to say, he has no power, he has no will, and the power and the will is only up to Allah. Allah guides whom he wills. Prophet Muhammad guides not whom he likes. This is a clear proof to every one of us that our deeds must be all for the sake of Allah only, not for the sake of Prophet Muhammad. Even we loved him from our heart, he is our messenger, but still he is a human being. Our deeds are not for his sake because he doesn't have a will or a power. Our deeds are only for Allah, the only one who has the will, who has the power, the source of all the good in our life. We will learn now that only Allah can remove the harm and only Allah can make an end for any hardship, so that when we call for the removal of the harm or for an end for our hardships, we must call on Allah. We must believe that Allah, it is Allah's command that will save us from any hardship and from any harm. People are the source, but people are not the one to give the command. The command is only from Allah. The command of Allah to the people to help us to end the hardship doesn't mean that the people are the one whom they were the cause of the end of our hardship. No, the people are the sources by which the command of Allah is taking place on the earth. We must only look to Allah, look only to Allah for the removal of our harm and for an, the end of our hardships. We will read now from Surah number 11, Surah Hud, verse number 107. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو وإن يردك بخير فلا راد لفضله يصيب به من يشاء من عباده وهو الغفور الرحيم. And if Allah touched you with hurt, there is none who can remove it but He. And if He intends any good for you, there is none who can rebel His favor, which He causes it to reach whomsoever of His slaves He wills, and He is the of forgiving, the most merciful. Actually, Allah the Almighty is clarifying that none can remove the hurt and the harm except Him, because He is the one who touches you with that hurt. So the one who touches us with the hurt is the only one who can remove it, and this is Allah the Almighty. Accordingly, when we are looking for our problems to be solved, for an end for our hardship, it is only Allah the Almighty whom we are supposed to call on and to believe that He will be the one to remove these hardships. We are not supposed to actually to believe that the people can remove any harm or any hurt. The people can put an end for any hardship. This is against the belief in Allah's oneness. This is actually which can cause the anger of Allah, because the most important for Allah is to believe in His oneness. That is to say, to have a clear trust that only Allah has the will and the power to remove any harm and to put an end for any hardship. Those human beings around me are the sources for that hardship to be ended when Allah will command the sources to work. The sources cannot work by themselves. They must have the command from Allah. For example, if I am looking for a job for my son, and I have a neighbor who is the president of a company, I must believe that my neighbor cannot give the job to my son, or cannot be the source of the provision for my son, except by the command of Allah. When Allah will command the source to work, the source will work. When Allah will command that human being to be the way for my son to have the job, that human being, that is to say my neighbor, will actually be the source of the help for my son to work. But without the command of Allah for the source to work, the source will never work. Even if he intends to work, he will never work, because the source doesn't have a will or a power. All the human beings on the earth, they don't have any power, they don't have any will, they are just working by the command of Allah. So if we are looking for any help, for any support, for an end of a hardship, if we are looking for anything in this life, we must call on Allah to do it for us, and we must call on Allah to give His command to the sources, that is to say the human being around us, so that they will be the way for our hardship to end, or for our harm to be removed. Accordingly, we are not supposed to depend on the sources. We are supposed to depend on the one who gives the command to the sources to work, Allah the Almighty. If this belief is clear in our spirits, the belief that Allah is the one who has the power and the will, and the one who has the command for all the sources to work, if this belief is clear in our spirits, inshallah, we are a believer in the oneness of Allah. Accordingly, we will have sincerity in our deeds. That is to say, all our deeds will be directed to Allah. The motive is Allah's obedience. The goal is Allah's pleasure and Allah's reward. Inshallah, we will have the sincerity. That is to say, our deeds are accepted by Allah. Our deeds are good deeds. Actually, it is Allah's right on His slave to obey Him and to look for His pleasure and for the reward only from Him. This clarifies the meaning of the following hadith. Hadith Qudsi, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah the Almighty said, "I am of no need of partners. Whoever does any deed for the sake of others as well as me, I leave this deed for those others." This means that if I come to the masjid to give the class for the sake of Allah, for the obedience of Allah, for the reward of Allah, and also for the sake of showing off with the sister, that means that for the sister to say, "Sister Mona has a lot of knowledge, Sister Mona knows how to recite the Quran, Sister Mona is a scholar." If I am looking for the reward from Allah and the reward from the people, Allah will never accept my deed. Allah will never give me any reward, because Allah is of no need. Allah is of no need of partners. And if there is anyone, I am doing my deed for His sake with Allah, Allah will leave my deed for those people. So long as my sisters will say, "Sister Mona is a knowledgeable scholar, Sister Mona knows how to recite the Quran," this means that I already received the reward from them. This means that I don't deserve any reward from Allah. Allah will not accept my effort. Allah will not reward me, and Allah actually will not consider my deed as a good deed. Why? Because I have partnered with Allah regarding the motive and regarding the goal of my deed. I hope that this clarified the meaning of having sincerity in our deeds. We will read now about sincerity from verses of the Quran. We will read from Surah number 98, Surah Al-Bayyinah, verse number 5. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. Yet they are ordered to do nothing more than to serve Allah, to worship Him alone with sincerity and purity of faith, to attend to their prayers and to pay the zakat. This is surely the faith of the upright nation, that is to say, the right faith. In this verse, Allah the Almighty is teaching us that the religion is clear and the faith is simple. It is simply to worship none but Allah, to have the sincerity and the pure submission to Him. This is the sincerity which is fundamental for our deeds to be accepted by Allah the Almighty. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever leaves this world with sincerity to Allah the Almighty, the one and the only one, and performs the prayers and pays the zakat, that person will die in the pleasure of Allah. We will read about sincerity also from Surah Az-Zumar, Surah number 39, verse number 1 and 2. الله الرحمن الرحيم تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم إنا أنزلنا إليك الكتاب بالحق فاعبد الله مخلصا له الدين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The revelation of this book, the Quran, is from Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise. Verily we have sent down the book to you, O Muhammad, peace be upon you, in truth. So worship Allah alone and do your deeds sincerely for His sake only. This address is to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the recipient of the Quran, and to his followers, to worship none but Allah, to be sincere in the devotion, and to conduct the life according to this basis. It is actually the sincerity to Allah the Almighty which is a must for all our relation with Allah, for all our deeds to be accepted. I pray to Allah that every one of us will have the sincerity in all our deeds, that is to say, the obedience of Allah to do the deeds. The motive is the obedience of Allah and the goal is Allah's pleasure and Allah's reward. Inshallah, next week we will learn in details about examples from the verses of the Quran related to sincerity, and also we will learn about how to have the sincerity in every deed. Inshallah, next week, let us now make the dua.